Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Live from View House Centennial, presented by Coors Light, reacting live to Rockies Dodgers and getting you set for Broncos Chiefs.
Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac is presented by Ted's Montana Grill.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, the Rockies are down 4-0 going into the top of the sixth, and we'll recap everything that's going on. Marquez is out, and they've done a double switch, so they're using Iannetta as a pinch hitter right now. And Bud Black is making a decision that I support, seeing that the score is 4-0, that this is not an elimination game, nor is it a play-in game. Bud Black is hedging his bets that they may need Marquez in some other form or fashion, and there's no use to burn him out in a game that they're down 4-0. I like the decision, and I like the fact that the Rockies have been seeing Buehler pretty well, even though he's no hit him so far, Alfred. He only has 2 strikeouts. So this game's far from being over, and we just got to, you know, a little patience here, and we'll see what happens. Tonight, though, turning our eyes to Monday Night Football, Alfred, what were your thoughts about this game as you watched others? I think that does have an impact when you watch other action. You think about how this impacts the Broncos. So I'm curious what your thoughts were when you saw a lot of real exciting NFL football over the weekend.
Well, my hope is that referees don't get involved with the outcome of the game. And it's something that we hardly ever talk about. But, you know, having referees certainly impact the game last week, as there were a couple of questionable calls for blocking in the back and unnecessary roughness on us. I don't want to hear a story about a referee who screws up the game like they did yesterday with the Cleveland Browns, clearly getting a first down, mm-hmm. and having the referees call into New York and reverse the call. I don't want to see that, man. I want the game to be played cleanly, and I want the referees to keep their flags in their pocket. I want a clean battle. So and I don't want any I don't want a field day of, you know, 25 penalties being
was that on the referees
tonight.
Or the team?
Well, I think that, you know, if you want to call holding, you can call it every play.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
You know, if you really want to call holding, you can call holding on every play. No matter what. You can call defensive holding or offensive holding on every play.
Let me put it this way. Do you expect a more disciplined, less penalty-prone team tonight with the Broncos?
Well, I know I'm going to get it because we have a Monday night game, which means that they will have, at the bare minimum, a B crew with us. We had, like, the D crew with us last weekend as the broadcast team and the referee team. So
okay.
I know for a fact that the referees are going to be better and more qualified to be on the field this weekend than it was last weekend. Because we plan on Monday night. They don't want a bad product in prime time. So we're going to get a better officiating crew.
And so how will that impact the Broncos?
Well, I'm just saying, I just don't want to see a bad
officiating
game.
Did we lose last week because of the refs?
I think they had something to do with it. But it also cost the Baltimore Ravens. What I'm saying, D-Mac, it was a calamity of penalties that were called and that made it awful. It made it awful to watch. And if you're a football fan, you simply don't go to your television broadcast with you and your friends, sit back and say, what's the over-under on penalties?
By the way, you may have heard the applause in the background. Charlie Blackmon singles with one out.
Breaks
so
up the no-hitter.
The no-hitter is done. I told you he did strike out Iannetta as a pinch hitter. Good job, Charlie. Just be patient here. I'm telling you. Be patient. Third time through the lineup, Al, with professional hitters. Just hold on here. This thing isn't over by a long stretch. In terms of the Broncos, it appears that they just can't. The Chiefs have been able to get ahead and get ahead early, Alfred. So if you're encouraging anything right off the bat, what would it be for the Broncos right in the first quarter?
Play with no fear. Play with no fear. Patrick Mahomes has to take shots tonight. He has to take shots tonight. And you've been hearing Vance Joseph, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, all week saying that you know, Patrick Mahomes has not been touched. Patrick Mahomes has had a clean pocket. When you hear things like that from a head coach, well, you better know one thing, that he may be thinking about bringing gas all night long. So he may be on fire. I mean, this thing could be fire all night long if you consider who we're playing. A young quarterback, Monday Night Football, second time appearing here in Denver, and this could be on. It could be very good. But you know what? You can't be afraid, man. You know, if I see our cornerbacks playing, you know, in pressure situations, playing off the ball, you know, I'm going to have a real issue.
All right, DJ LeMahieu, great play by Hernandez, second baseman for the Dodgers. Really spectacular play to get DJ LeMahieu on a ball, hit up the middle, one-hopped it nicely to the first baseman, and they get DJ out by a step. So that brings up Nolan Arenado with a runner in scoring position. I tell you what, or I'm sorry, David Dahl, who weakly grounds out to first base. Okie dokie. Well, that's disappointing. That's tough right there. David Dahl had homered in 6 out of 7 games, runner in scoring position, third time through the lineup, and maybe shows a little impatience there, Al, going after the first pitch and just barely trickling it to the first baseman.
Yep, and okay. That's the way that cookie crumbled. That inning is over, but the no-hitter is broken up. Let's see if we can start piling on runs.
Boy, I would have liked to seen – I don't mind you swinging at the first pitch. I don't mind it at all. But it's kind of that rule of thumb. If you're swinging at the first pitch with a runner in scoring position, like that's got to be a meatball. Like, you got to be hitting that ball hard. And if you're not, that was the Tulo situation, right? You know, you remember what Tulo was just like.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, it's okay to swing at the first pitch, and it's okay even if you make it out. But you've got to, on the first pitch, hit that ball hard. And Dahl just, that was like a two-strike swing right there. That was weak right there.
Speaking of disappointment, how about Nebraska starting 0-4 and their schedule is now starting to get tough?
I'm just disappointed.
You know what? Call me McDonald's because I'm loving it.
Okay. All right, we'll take a quick break. We're not giving up hope, not even close on the Rockies. There's plenty of time to go. But Marquez has already been chased from the game. He gave up 2 two-run home runs. And the Rockies have been one hit so far. So we go to the bottom of the sixth, and the Rockies are trailing 4-0. This is The Drive on Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Live from View House Centennial, presented by Coors Light. Reacting live to Rockies Dodgers and getting you set for Broncos Chiefs. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
That was disappointing, Al. I'm not going to lie. What's the one thing I've been harping on the whole freaking year? The whole friggin' year was about letting Archie Bradley hit a triple to score 3 runs. Our pitcher, Musgrave, just gave up a single to Buehler, their pitcher, to drive in a run from second base. And Hernandez gets on a ground rule double. Oh, my gosh. I'm having a hard time with this, man. You're letting a pitcher, get an RBI single in a game this important. Like, you just let that happen. I'm beside myself, man. I mean, you just there's certain things you cannot do if you want to win. You just can't do certain things. You can't let pitchers get hits off you.
Right? Driving in runs.
I mean, you got a guy.
Smiles and ding-dongs.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody in Los Angeles.
Because everybody knows when a pitcher gets a hit, it's a freaking miracle. Never mind when he gets an RBI. You can't do it, man. You got to. There's just no excuse for it. There's no excuse for Neshek giving up that triple to Bradley, and there's no excuse for giving up a base hit to a pitcher. Not in this situation. You got to be better than that if you want to be a championship team. That's highly, highly, highly disappointing to me. The Rockies are down 5-0. It's the end of the sixth, and it's one thing to give up home runs to, you know, great hitters, Muncy, Bellinger. I mean, but you give up a flare base hit to a pitcher. I know, dude. Sometimes you're ready for those championship moments, Alfred, and sometimes you're not. And you got something to prove here. David Dahl, as great as he's been, he has been unbelievable with a runner in. So that was the, let me just get you through it.
Go ahead.
With two outs, the Rockies had a runner on second base. Okay, with two outs, and our guy David Dahl weakly hit a ground out to first base. When the Dodgers, with two outs, get a ground rule double from their second baseman Hernandez, and the pitcher's up, not David Dahl, the pitcher's up, and he comes through in the clutch. So our guy, hitting number three in our lineup, who's hit six home runs in seven games.
The reigning NL player of the week.
He can't make it happen, and their pitcher, who's thrown a one-hitter so far, gets an RBI in a close game. And don't turn around at the end of the day and say you didn't have your chances. I mean, just to break it down, Alfred, the Rockies score a run. David Dahl comes through. Let's just say it theoretically. It's 4-1. It's a three-run game. And in just the course of an inning, that run matters. You gave up a double with two outs, and then you let a pitcher get a hit off you.
Well, the
I mean, it makes me sick to my stomach. I can't believe it's now happened. And it's not a playoff game like last year, so it's not quite as important. But still, it's a big moment, and I just can't believe it happened again.
Well, what you also will one day look back on is the drop third pitch that would have been an out to close out an inning and gave the Dodgers momentum. And
yeah,
also,
maybe, Al, but you got to put runs on the board.
But
here,
to me, right there, when your pitcher is giving you, you know, the goods, you got to assist him by at least catching that ball. If nothing else, stopping it and you're getting back to first base. I mean, come on, man. I mean, that changed the game. That changed the game.
I'm not giving up because I've seen crazier things happen. That's for sure. The Rockies are a great, great, great hitting team. But now you're, of course, set up for the Dodgers for their, you know, if Buehler gets through this inning, now you're set up with your setup guy, your closer, and Jansen. I mean, if you're the Dodgers, it couldn't get any better. I mean, this is the best possible scenario for them. Even though there's, you know, it's friends and family only, apparently, out there in Chavez Ravine, doesn't matter.
It was a late crowd. Looked like they're starting to fill in now.
But it doesn't, again, the playoffs happen if they lose tomorrow in Chicago. By the way, we will have that game right here on The Fan. And first pitch will be just after 6 o'clock tomorrow if that happens. You know, Nolan's up now. It's 5-0, Al. I mean, I've seen the Rockies score plenty of times in these situations. We know they can do it, so
let's talk about this football game tonight.
All right, you're getting me past my blues a little bit. That's perhaps the right move to do.
Oh, man. You know, I have been paying attention to little subtle hints all week from the Denver Broncos, and it's about how great Patrick Mahomes has played, but it's also about how Patrick Mahomes has not been pressured and he has not been hit and he has not seen the ground a bunch from defenders. Here's what I always have a problem dealing with. When you start an NFL season, the guy, believe it or not, that you'd rather see at home is a Phillip Rivers. It's Tom Brady. It's a Joe Flacco. The guys that are more mobile force you to have a different rush plan than the guys who are immobile. Patrick Mahomes is young. He's very athletic. If you get too wild in your pass rush, he can take off and run with the football. He's no different than Alex Smith in that regard. So he's a different kind of problem. Now, there's been some conversation about our interior pass rush because we talked about how great this unit looks or have looked in training camp. Mm-hmm. Here's the real deal about our interior pass rush. They've been forced to hold their defensive rush lanes longer than they normally would because of the quality of the runners that we've seen. Now, Derek Carr got the ball out of his hand so lightning quick, there was no chance to really get to him. The two times that he held the football, we got to him. So tonight I would like to see something that is absolutely different than what we have seen before in our past. go ahead and let the defensive line let it rip. Let the whole defensive line let it rip. Go out there and play as if Patrick Mahomes is like a Tom Brady, like a Phillip Rivers. If he breaks the line of scrimmage, then it will be one of the very few times that he would have an opportunity to be hit. So, you know what? Let's see who he is when he's running with the football. If he runs, if Patrick Mahomes runs tonight for 55 yards, 75 yards, something like that, that's not the worst thing in the world, because the opposite is him sitting back there and ripping you apart with that amazing right arm that he has. So I would like to see a change of pace from the way that we're coaching our defensive line in a four-man pressure. Now, if it's a blitz situation, lane integrity is the most important thing. But right now, that's what I would like to see going into this game against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Who's that on? I mean, how does that change?
Well, that's Bill Kolar in the coordination with Joe Woods trying to figure out what is, you know, every quarterback in the NFL, there's a rush plan for him. And in a rush plan, what happens is that you build these walls and you know where the quarterback escape route is. Like, hey, he's a right-handed quarterback, so he's going to escape to the defense's left, okay? He escapes to the right side, and he escapes through the middle of the defense. Well, if that's the case, then you know that the three technique is has to build a wall over there with the left defensive end. And on the backside, they can cut it loose. So a guy like Bradley Chubb will have a night. But if they say, hey, he likes to escape in the middle left, then it's just the opposite. So knowing what your rush plan is going against a guy like Patrick Mahomes is it's a question mark, because we don't have enough film on him. We don't have enough data on him, because he hasn't been rushed and he hasn't been pressured and he hasn't escaped the pocket that often. So it's like going through the lineup for the first time if you're a baseball fan. You know what I'm saying? This is the first time we're seeing this guy in a real game that matters. So we'll see tonight, and we'll chart him, and we'll have that information. But tonight, we're going to have to find out who he is under duress. I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos come out of this game with at least 20 plays of six-man pressure or more.
Okay. So that's a lot of heat on the no-fly zone or whatever we have our secondary call these
days.
No
doubt, man. So six. So this is the way you look at it, okay? Six-man pressure, okay? Six-man pressure, which means that we bring four defensive linemen. We bring two others. Now, where those others come from, that's always up in the air. But you bring six because you know that they will be protecting with five offensive linemen and their running back, because their tight end is a real threat in the passing game. You wouldn't ask him to stay in and block.
All right. Well, we'll keep talking about it. We'll set you up nicely as the game gets going. We'll walk you right up to the kickoff, and we'll see. It's going to be a stern test. It's a signature game, no doubt about it. Meanwhile, the Rockies are down 5-0, and they've taken Buehler out. 6 2/3. He gave up one hit, three walks, three strikeouts with 93 pitches. So Dave Roberts probably thinking along the same lines, like, hey, I don't need to push him further than I have to. It's looking good for the Dodgers in terms of winning the NL West, but the game's certainly not over. The Rockies are into the Dodgers bullpen at this point, and it was Carlos Gonzalez that just took a walk, so that'll put up Desmond, and we'll go from there. Now it's a series of pinch hitters, that sort of thing, as they've already did a double switch to take Walters out of the game and get Iannetta in there. So we'll see where it goes from here. The Rockies are not giving up hope, but that was a supreme performance by Buehler in terms of Marquez. Marquez, 4 2/3, five hits, four runs, two earned, nine strikeouts. He started off incredibly hot, Alfred, but two-run home runs more or less did him in, and Bud Black made the move with 84 pitches to take Marquez out, and we go from here. Don't give up. It's not over yet, that's for sure. Anything can happen. But the Rockies got a lot of catching up to do. We cover it live, second by second, right here on The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Live from Viewhouse Centennial, presented by Coors Light. Reacting live to Rockies Dodgers and getting you set for Broncos Chiefs. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
We're going to check in on our coverage of the Major League Baseball playoffs on ESPN Denver 1600. Matt Holliday at the plate, runners on first and second, two outs. Rockies down 5-0, top of the seventh.
Swing and a pop-up into the grass behind second base. Manny Machado, the shortstop, backpedaling underneath it to make the catch, and the inning is over. The seventh inning stretch is brought to you by Capital One.
Okay. So, the two times the Rockies had men in scoring position, the two batters, Matt Holliday, and then before that, David Dahl, both swung at the first pitch. Both, one was a weak ground out, the other was a weak pop out. Al, sensing a little trend here?
Scouting. That's the only thing you can say about why you would go after the first pitch the way that they have. Maybe they have advanced information about the Dodgers pitching staff throwing first pitch strikes. So, and right in the middle of the plate, as that one was.
Yeah, it was a low sort of middle inside fastball to Matt Holliday. That's a ball that, in all honesty, Matt Holliday can hit to the moon. He wasn't, the Dahl pitch was way inside. I don't think it was even a strike. That was definitely a strike to Holliday. That's a pitch that he's looking for that he can hit, and that's just about not coming through. That, I mean, it's a high pop-up, which a high pop-up could easily be a 450-foot home run. I mean, that does happen. That's just not ready for the Al, in sports, there's moments, right?
Well, you can't say that Matt Holliday is not a big-moment guy.
Well,
I'm
going to tell you from a GM perspective, from Jeff Breidich's perspective, that situation right there, that's everything a GM dreams of. That's like plucking a guy out who wasn't playing, getting him up to speed, getting him ready, having him available, Alfred, an experienced guy, for a moment like that. That's like a GM doing like every single thing the right way and the player just not being able to produce.
Maybe we should have went with Parra.
Well, it's a right-hander, so they wouldn't have used Parra in that. Well, no, you could be right. I mean, it's a right-handed pitcher, right? So they could have, yeah, you could be right there. You could less than second-guessing go right there. You could have put a lefty Parra up in that situation, and said they put Matt Holliday. They had a lefty in the bullpen ready to come in, by the way, the Dodgers did, in case the Rockies made that move. It would have been righty on righty or lefty on lefty, no matter what. So the Dodgers were ready for it if it was somebody besides Holliday. So you would have, you just take a guess who gives you the best shot.
Matt Holliday has been in plenty of situations.
Yeah, I can't hate on that move.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't. I think that's why he's on. I think that one at bat right there is why Matt Holliday is on the team. I think that's it right there. And he popped up to short or second or whatever.
It kind of explains what's happened in the day for the Colorado Rockies.
It's not their day.
Just does not feel like it. Not yet.
Not their day yet. Not their day yet. So Scott Oberg's in to pitch to Justin Turner and Jake McGee's warming up. So they're looking for a lefty-on-lefty matchup soon to come. So now you play this sort of game, right? And you go back and forth, and you play the odds, and you do your best. But you got to get more than one hit, everybody. It's got to be more than one hit, right? You've had two situations with runners in scoring position with two outs. And when the Dodgers had that situation, you know, Big Sexy, I'd have to check. Justin Turner, by the way, singles to right field to Cargo. Have all of the Dodgers' runs come with two outs? I think they might have. I think all the Dodgers' runs today may have come with two outs. We'll research that here in a second. But if you want to know why the Dodgers can produce runs here, because they're getting runners on with no outs.
It looks like they're comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're facing Scott Oberg now. I mean, you're the Los Angeles Dodgers. You're not intimidated by Scott Oberg. You're not intimidated by Musgrave. And,
just
you know, their limit.
Just the Max Muncy home run was a two-out home run. Those are the only two runs that they scored. No, Walker Buehler didn't have any outs. There was no outs.
No, there were two outs in that situation, weren't there?
No.
I was pretty sure.
Walker Buehler had didn't look like two outs here. Okay. Not what I'm looking at.
Well, I think there was. But anyways, don't worry about it. It's all right. The Rockies.
I thought it was too.
Yeah. The Rockies lead.
Yeah, it was
now
two
another
outs.
Another not. Base hit. So yep, now the Dodgers put runners on first and third. Yeah, Buehler's hit came at two outs, too. That's why I was so ticked off.
Did you see that?
Now the Rockies are, this is scramble mode now. You got runners on first and third. Oberg's given up two hits.
Do you see why now, why this thing was so important to me? Because there was a guy in the stands on the television broadcast that said, the Dodgers own the West. I mean, just the inference that, you know, there's no other team in the West. You know, like that whole thing that they're the big brother and we're the little brother. I'm just so tired of that.
Oh, I hate the Dodgers. Screw the Dodgers.
And for you, it's the Cubs. For me, it's the Dodgers. You know, big payroll.
Oh, you can hate the Dodgers and the Cubs. You can hit both of them equally.
Yeah, whatever.
Which I do. All right. Blah. Blah, 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 blah. Is what it is. We turn our attention to tomorrow if the Rockies go down today, okay? That puts Kyle Freeland on the mound. The Rockies beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 times in Chicago this year. The one time they lost, of course, Kyle Freeland pitched, but the score of that game was 4-1. Hardly a blowout. I certainly wanted the Rockies to win this game, and I would love to see an incredible comeback here. I'm just not anticipating it at this point. I would love nothing better than to beat the Cubs in Chicago for the Rockies to get into the NLDS. I think that would be amazing. And so I have not given up hope by a long stretch, Alfred. Not by a long stretch. It's a tricky deal and disappointing that that this wasn't the game. You know,
you know what? At least in this one, the umpire didn't get in the way of the runner, you know, causing us a couple runs. And anyway it goes, let's make something good happen. That's it. That's it. That's it.
The Rockies first and third with no outs get a comebacker to Oberg. They turn a double play. They keep Turner at third. That's a good clutch moment. Right? We're getting excited. Well, all right. I mean, maybe. You just never know, right? I mean, with runners on first and third, to me, with no outs, those are two runs in at 7-0. So to turn a double play in that situation, great job. Now you got to get out of it. It's a two-out situation. The Rockies had a runner in scoring position with two outs, and now so do the Dodgers. And, you know, sometimes moments come down to this. So we'll take a quick break. We'll let you know what happened. It looks like the Rockies may be actually making a pitching change to go lefty on lefty and bring in McGee. Is that what's going on? That is what's going on. They're bringing in the lefty. They're bringing in Jake McGee. So we'll take a pause when we come back. What will happen with Jake McGee on the mound, runner on third base, Rockies down 5-0. Bottom of the 7th. This is The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Live from View House Centennial, presented by Coors Light. Reacting live to Rockies Dodgers and getting you set for Broncos Chiefs. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
3-2. Swing and a miss. Grandal frustrated. Flings his bat down to the deck. That'll end the frame. The leadoff single from Turner. He's left stranded. And we go to the 8th inning at Dodger Stadium. 5-0 LA leads.
Alfred, I'm trying to cling on to some hope, my friend. The Rockies were in a tough spot. They had runners, or the Dodgers had runners on first and third with no outs. They get a double play. They bring in McGee. He gets the strikeout. So, okay, you feeling me here a little bit? Like,
anything can happen?
Anything can happen? Is that what we're doing right here, Big Sexy?
Of course he is.
I mean, we need to light a fire. We need something.
Then let it breathe a little bit. As we're live here from the View House in front of hundreds. Because I don't know if people in Colorado work all that hard. But they have a lot of fun. Look at the weather! I'm trying now.
Hey, we're in this ball game.
I know.
But I've seen crazier things happen, especially in baseball.
I've seen crazier things happen in baseball. Yeah, you are correct. Look at that sparsely attended crowd there. Is that embarrassing?
By the way, congratulations to my Colorado Buffaloes showing up in the national polls.
That was impressive.
Yes, nice win. Nice win last weekend.
Yeah.
And we made UCLA look like a bad football club. And for that, we get to be ranked 21.
Nice.
In the AP poll.
Good.
And 22 in the coaches poll.
Undefeated Buffaloes.
That's right. You got to make bad teams look bad. And Colorado did that last weekend. Or should I say Friday night over UCLA, UCLA.
You got a big test Saturday at 1 o'clock.
What does that mean?
I'm just saying.
What does that mean?
My Sun Devils.
Whatever you make.
Did you watch that game? Did you watch the Sun Devils in Oregon State?
No, but I mean,
State. They are bad. Oregon State's lost 22 games on the road in a row. How about that?
Right.
Yeah, they're not a good team. I'll give you that. But the Sun Devils rolled up 50-something points. They broke a school record. They had a running back, Eno something or other. He ran for 312 yards.
Let me ask you this. After last
weekend. They got a first-round draft pick in N'Keal Harry as a wide receiver.
After last weekend.
Yeah.
All the trash talk that you had about Herm Edwards getting that job unfairly, how do you feel about it now?
Oh, I love Herm. Are you kidding? I'm on the Herm. I'm on the Herm train. I freaking love Herm. Oh,
all right, man.
I'm totally over that.
All right, dude.
That's ancient history. You know, Todd, whatever, the coach from last year. No, I'm firmly on the Herm train. There's nothing like sitting out as I was Saturday night for a college football game when it's 96 degrees at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, how was that?
It's brutal. I don't know how anybody does it. I told you that this is a very odd game.
But it was nighttime.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
hot.
It was like 105 at 3 o'clock and 96 at 9 o'clock. You know, we got a nice cool breeze at 92 when we were walking out of the game after the third quarter. You know, ASU's got an interesting team, but I think CU's better. I think CU should win this game, and they are in the same division, by the way, in the Pac-12. So it's a big game for, well, both teams. But I like CU's chances, and I think the adjustment for ASU playing a 1 o'clock game. They haven't done anything at 1 o'clock. They don't go to classes at 1 o'clock. Everything happens at night. It's a huge advantage for CU, and I think CU will win this game.
Are they ranked?
They were ranked, and they lost a really disappointing game to San Diego State. And then they lost to Washington, which is a top 10 team. So the loss to San Diego State is really stink. They had the lead. They blew it late. They got a bad call late, blah, 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 blah. And it's crushing them in terms of ranking, whereas Washington's a legit top 10 team this year. So, they destroyed Oregon State, as SCU will destroy Oregon State if they play them this year. And
52-24.
Yeah, but it was actually closer than it really needed to be for the vast majority of the game. I love it's going to be a great game. It's going to be an awesome game. The rest of the Pac-12 schedule for Colorado should be pretty exciting, and I think Colorado will win. I think CU will win this game.
Well, let's go Buffaloes.
Yeah. But I'll be there in person to root against CU this weekend. We got our tailgating plans. I got my tickets. We got our parking pass. I'll be hanging out at the Millennium Hotel with all the other traders that come to town every week.
That's
so we got it all. We got it all scheduled, Al. We got it all planned out.
Well, let's go Colorado.
I bought a new shirt.
The Broncos can get the all-important dub to put us in first place
in
the AFC West.
If the Broncos win tonight, all right, let's stay on the positive tip of things. If the Broncos win tonight, what does it say?
That we have a good football team. You know, we have a good football team, and we played an aggressive style of football, and we made things happen. We didn't react to things that happened to us. We made them happen. And, you know, I don't think that people really I was talking to one of my sons about Philip Lindsay and what he means to this team. And I was like, well, you know, if you have a running back and that running back touches the football roughly 20 times in a game,
mm-hmm.
What happens to those 20 touches? It could be like, you know, Nick Chubb yesterday had three touches.
Wasn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, that's what he was in college.
Yeah. And Sony Michel had a good game today for the Patriots.
Sony Michel had a great game yesterday, going over 100 yards there yesterday. So the Georgia products.
The Browns are dumb. The Browns should be 4-0. The Browns easily could be 4-0 right now.
Yeah.
They're just kind of a dumb team right now, which I'd put on the coaching.
Well, when you see dynamic running backs in this league can absolutely flip the game. We always talk about how good the quarterbacks are. It's almost like the running backs are a secondary thought in the fantasy football world. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're talking about fantasy football, the running backs don't mind. I mean, you don't care about the running backs. Mm. But in real football terms, a guy like Philip Lindsay takes a 5-yard run and turns it into a 20-yard spectacular.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we need more touches from Philip Lindsay.
Agreed.
And tonight would be a great night not to have Philip Lindsay on special teams, because now we know what the real value is of Philip Lindsay. You cannot afford to have him get hurt in a special teams moment.
All right, so what are you specifically saying?
I'm advocating for the Broncos.
What special teams does Philip Lindsay play on?
He's on the kickoff team. He's on the punt team.
What does he do on the punt team?
He's a gunner.
He's a gunner on the punt team.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, I can see you taking him off there. I don't mind kickoffs because nobody has any returns here in Colorado.
Well, don't even put him on the kickoff team.
Well, he's not using any energy. The ball goes through the end zone.
I know the defense enters onto the field, but I don't want to wait for this guy to get hurt because he changes our offense. Look how our offense looked without him last week.
Terrible.
We lost our first game of the year.
Yeah, it looked bad.
Right, so
it took away all. When you watch these games, Sony Michel, how about Austin Eckler? How proud is everybody in Colorado of Austin Eckler?
Austin Eckler,
holy cow! How important is he to the Chargers?
Hell yeah!
He's gargantuan.
You got to have dynamic playmakers touch the football when you are a team that wants to get a win. And now, if you don't care, okay.
Now listen, man, we're seeing the ultimate game changer tonight.
Oh.
On the other side.
It used to be Kareem Hunt.
Well, Kareem Hunt's great. But Tyreek is
a game changer.
It's ridiculous.
Hey, you know what? They'll try to put the ball in his hand at least 15 times a night.
No doubt.
Runs.
Yeah. He'll return every
time.
Yeah.
You name it. They'll try to, quick
passes.
All right,
hold on a second. Why are you against Philip Lindsay playing special teams, but yet Tyreek Hill plays tons of special teams?
None when he's in the coverage.
Okay, so you just don't want Philip Lindsay in coverage. What if Philip Lindsay was taking back punts?
Oh, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right, well, that's still special teams.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just saying. I mean the coverage units. I don't want him involved in the coverage units. We don't want that guy to be part of that. And every now and then you get lucky, man. You get an Austin Eckler. You get a Philip Lindsay. You know, we need guys like Darren Sproles to be part of these game plans that change the whole outcome of games.
Well, let me tell you, the inactives have been announced for the Broncos tonight. They include Tremaine Brock not playing, Adam Jones is playing. So Pac-Man Jones is back. So not only would I anticipate Pac-Man Jones playing, taking punts, but I assume he'll be playing quite a bit on defense as well. And that's a big decision for Tremaine Brock not to play. Okay, Kevin Hogan scratched, Alexander Johnson, he probably won't play the whole year. Sam Jones is scratched, as is Elijah Wilkinson, Shamarco Thomas, and one more game, DeMarcus Walker, who's been inactive for every single game this year. I haven't really asked you about that. What's your feeling on DeMarcus Walker being scratched again for tonight? Fourth game in a row on that.
Well, I think that they're looking at a team where it's more important to stop the run than rush the passer. So, you go with your big body guys in that situation and not the guys that are wiry framed. And you hope that big guys, especially Kerr, can make things happen in the passing game. So, when you don't have a guy playing, it's because he doesn't have enough versatility or he's not great enough in his area of expertise or specialty to garner a roster spot on game day. It's only 45 spots on game day, bro.
All right, the Rockies are trying to rally. Charlie Blackman got a base hit. Good for Chuck. DJ LeMahieu at the plate right now with an 0-2 count. Yeah, and there's one out. So let's take a pause for exclamation mark, and we'll see when we come back here in just a second if the Rockies got anything cooking. We'll keep you up to date by the second. Meanwhile, Mark Schlereth talking about the Broncos defense.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
This defense, two things. How are you going to cover Travis Kelce? This is exactly why they went to Justin Simmons. This is why a guy like TJ Ward is no longer here. So you've got a huge task to cover Travis Kelce. And it's not only going to be you, I understand that, but there are going to be some one-on-one matchups that you're going to have, and you're going to have to win. How are you going to cover Tyreek Hill, the fastest man on the planet? How are you going to be aggressive enough to stop him? And ultimately, how do you stop this running game, make them one-dimensional, so Von Miller can wreck this game? That's what it comes down to. If you can do those things, and it's a tall task here on Monday night, but if you do those things, you come away with a victory when you get your cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.